Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, you can find us on the web at revivallife.church.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the other 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, know this, and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you assume, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And even on my male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will display wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." This is the word of the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Hallelujah. 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 How are you feeling this morning, church? Happy St. Patrick's Day. For the faithful remnant who showed up on time, we did a survey of who was Irish in the room. And there were many Irish people. Some people are not sure if they're Irish, even though they declare they're sure. But they don't have any DNA evidence to the contrary. So since my dad was Irish, I just will claim you all as Irish. Is that all right? Even though I've mostly identified as Italian my life, but happy St. Patrick's Day. It's not only St. Patrick's Day, though. Does anybody know that? There's another celebration happening today. It is Chelsea's birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Chelsea. We're so happy you're here with us today on your birthday. What more blessed thing can you do than listen to me preach on your birthday? I feel like there should be a gift pack you can give someone if it's not a Sunday. I want to share a couple testimonies from our Sunday night intercession, because God showed up in a really unusual way for those who were there. Amen? And Bella, did you want to share a testimony about Sunday? Yeah? Yeah or no? Yeah? I know your mom probably does. Come on up. Who was here Sunday and you want to share a testimony of what God did? I want to actually, Mikey's going to come. Mikey, I already prepared Mikey. Come on up, Mikey. Mikey's out making coffee. We don't care about that. We don't care about your coffee, Mikey. You prepare yourself, Natalia, just in case. So you came Sunday to intercession. Okay, they'll turn on. He'll turn on. He'll get you. I feel it. I feel it in my spirit. He's going to get it. Just keep talking.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, so now I want to remind you, this microphone is used by everyone. Mm-hmm. And singers, they almost make out with microphones when they sing on them. But on public microphones, I don't recommend that so much.
I got you.
Yes. Yes. Gotcha. So we had intercession on Sunday. I'm going to be very honest with you. I normally, when we come on Sunday night intercession, I have planned already. I have scriptures. I have what we're going to do. And I kept asking God, what are we doing Sunday? And he said, yeah, don't worry about that. I'm like, I'm leading the meeting. It's something I really should be concerned about. And he kept saying, don't worry about that. And we got here in, early, and I prayed. And Trace said, what are we doing? I was like, don't worry about that. And and then God showed up, and we prayed for one another, And Mike received prayer. And just share what you feel comfortable sharing, what God did. Don't share anything you're uncomfortable sharing, but...
I'm comfortable. I'm definitely comfortable.
Well, you're definitely talking comfortable. I know that. Let me tell you this funny thing. Did anybody like when Prophet Mario came? He's a very outgoing guy, right? He's very outgoing. Good meeting, right? He said, Mikey is so outgoing, I was uncomfortable. I said, that's Mikey right there. Yeah. Mikey will, he'll blow right past your little... Your little boundary of, I'm just going to... He'll just love right into that boundary right there.
I do need a hug.
Right in. Amen. All right. So share what happened.
Oh, man.
Without preaching.
I won't preach.
But share what you experienced, what God did, you know.
For a while now, Sunday nights, I would normally spend time with family, you know, my girlfriend, just
where
constantly do that.
Where is Chevy?
Chevy is at a bridal.
Okay. All right. I was going to text her and harass her, but
oof,
go ahead.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
But don't do it. Don't snitch on me.
Okay.
But I was...
My wife missed Sunday one time because her best friend was getting married, and I harassed her for like 4 years about how I go to church more than she does, right?
Oh, man.
So she would lecture me, and I'd be like, I go to church more than you do. She's like, 4 years ago, I went to my best friend's bridal shower. And, you know.
Yeah, no, this last Sunday was, for some time now, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for 4 years, and I had some things in my personal life that was very heavy on my heart. It's been basically my whole life. On some things that in the past 10 years since I've started college, this event has been occurring more and more, and it's painful, mm-hmm. to say the least. And so what I would do for many years, I would work and work and work till I cannot work anymore,
wow.
not thinking about anything. I remember Pastor was always talking about like the hustle mentality. That was me, by definition, from young to now. And the Lord just kept pulling on me, just talking about community. He kept showing me Mr. Mike in the morning, you know, like sitting down there and just be like, go talk to him, go pray with him. So one day I pray with him, you know, and then I just read the Bible with him. And then I just talked to Pastor Carl and I started openly talking more and more and more. And then one Sunday I actually cried in front of Pastor Carl and Pastor Tracy after church. Come fast forward to last week. I'm going to make this quick. Everybody prayed for me and prophesied for me. And Sunday night, you know, I've had so many prayers. I started bawling uncontrollably. I felt so hot. I was crying so much that, and I don't feel like crying in front of people at all, but I covered my face. I've had many prophesied over me, about my family, about a tattoo vision I had on my back. I'm not getting it, but it was like so crazy to me. I'm like, and then God was like, this is community. And then to wrap it all up, Miss Sue came to me and said, Jesus loves you. In a way that after I left, I could not leave my car automatic, right? I was just like sat down in my car like, yo, what just happened? Texted Pastor Carl like, yo, I just cried. Never cried like this in front of a lot of people. But I'm grateful for it.
Amen.
I learned, and now I'm like, yo, every Sunday I will be here, you know, and I encourage those who need to be there,
amen.
Be there, because it might not be for you, but it might be for somebody else too. And you know, it's all about community in the body of Christ.
Amen, amen. So. What did you experience in the fire that was happening?
I was sweating like a dog.
I know, but what did you experience? See, he thinks it was the crime. We know it was the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
That was the Holy Ghost in fire. What was happening inside? What was God doing in that?
He was delivering me from a lot of oppression, physical, mental abuse. I felt like I have a family outside of my earthly family that was not, I'm not comfortable. I'm comfortable with y'all, but I'm not comfortable to the point I can say, yo, like we going, you know, I'm crying for you. Nope, that's not happening, you know? But it was like God was like saying, yo, Mike, this is who you were back in the day. This is who you were growing up. But this is who you are now. It's time to get uncomfortable and just come to me and my people. So Simple as that.
Amen, amen, amen. Just stretch your hand to the mic. Father, we thank you. We love you. We love you, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing in Mikey's heart and what you're doing in his life. Father, we thank you that you have adopted him into the family of God. We love him. We love him. We love him. And we thank you for what you're doing. And we believe that you will complete that which you began in the name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen, amen, amen. Good job, Mikey. Now, I never do this, but if you were at the meeting and you have a testimony, do you want to come up and share it? Anybody who was at the meeting want to share a testimony? If not, going 3, 2. You sure, Bella? 1. Oh, see, Natalia ain't going to rob God of his glory. Oh, she said, I'm going to put some seed in the ground. Go ahead.
Amen. So at first we walked in, we're doing the worship, and the first thing I felt during worship is I heard God say, I'm on your side. And then when I went and I sat down, Sue was the first one to like speak over me, and she goes, I just hear God say, he's in your boat, he's on your side.
Hallelujah.
And I was like, okay. And then it just went down the line. Pastor Tracy goes, I just hear God, because I've just been going through some stuff. And then Pastor Tracy goes, I hear God say it's not that complicated. Mm. I'm like, okay, I definitely needed to hear that, because in my mind, everything has like a billion steps that needed to take place. And God's just like, no, just go. And then just God's love after the it's not that complicated was just so overwhelming.
Amen.
And then everything else just kind of confirmed that he's on my side and it's not that complicated.
Wow. And what did all that do in you? What was God doing in your heart and all that?
I've just been a lot of just lack of peace in how to move about making certain decisions. I just felt a lot more peace at that moment.
Come on.
That what I wanted to do was actually what God wanted for me.
Amen.
As opposed to trying to figure out all these little things. It's kind of like, no, I'm on your side in this.
Amen. Stretch your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, wow, thank you that you are on Natalia's side. Thank you for your grace to take the next step, whatever that is. Peace in every trial that she is facing, and wisdom in those steps. In the name of Jesus, amen, 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 amen. Yeah, give a clap offer to the Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is very good. Amen. He is moving in our midst. We are in our beloved community message series. And this has been good. 2 weeks, Easter, right? I'm encouraging you. We have invitation cards in the lobby. Invite some people. I have been having the craziest divine appointments with people that I've been inviting to church and just praying with, and just lean into that. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But we talked about like why we do this. Why do we gather on Sunday? And there's a lot of people who are deconstructing their faith in this season because there's a whole lot of unhealthy church. Amen? It is what it is. We all got some crazy family members. So does the church. The church has got a few crazy family members. And we love that. No, I wanted to be there. So we all got some crazy family members. But this is who we are. We are the church. The church is a gathering of a community who practice a life of resurrection in a world in which death gets the biggest headlines. We're hitting this over and over again because we have to recognize we are a community of the resurrection. Let me say this again. We are a community of the resurrection. What does that mean? Death does not have the final say. In your situation, we practice resurrection in a world where death gets the biggest headlines. Everybody is talking about the calamity. Everybody's talking about how the economy is going to keep you from buying a house. The economy is going to keep you from launching a business. The economy or the health crises. Or we don't deny any of those things. We don't make up numbers about the economy. We don't make up numbers about healthcare. At the same point, we serve a God who was raised from the dead and then never died again. This is what our faith looks like. Again, we don't make stuff up, but we're a community of people who came to the realization that Jesus was dead and the Father raised him to life. I'm not going to go off on a tangent here. I believe in healing. Anybody else here believe in healing? I believe in supernatural healing. I absolutely believe it. I do not believe that anytime you pray for somebody and they're not healed, it's because you did something wrong. Because we are all going to die. At some point, you will pray for somebody and they will die and not get up. I don't care if you are the greatest healing revivalist ever. Jesus raised people from the dead who later died, right? They all will die. Jesus is alive forever. And so he wants us in the midst of a world that not only has death, but death gets the biggest headlines. We meditate on life. We meditate on resurrection. We meditate on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that means for every part of our lives. That means we're not allowed to stay in despair and depression about our circumstances. You could get sad. You can get really sad. You can mourn. You can be upset that you got some bad circumstances, but we're not allowed to stay there because our God is the God of the resurrection. And this is how we want to live. And as we talked about the Church of Jesus Christ in our message series, The Beloved Community, we talked about how we're not a club or an interest group. We're not a political party. We're not a business plan. We're not these things. We have an election coming up, and some of us are going to vote for different people for mayor. We're going to vote for different people for governor and for president and senate and the judges, if you even fill out that part of the ballot, right? We're going to vote for some different people, and we have to be a people of reconciliation where we can gather around the table and not base our friendships on whether you like the same kind of truck I do or you vote for the same judge or we like the same kind of sports team or like the same kind of bag, right? We got to be able to be people who gather around something more than that because we're not an interest group and we're not a public service organization. We do things. We feed the poor at Revival Life Church. We help one another. But that's not the purpose of our gathering. We're not a service organization, and we're definitely not a self-help group. So many churches today are just self-help groups. You get messages every week on how to have a better business life, a better marriage, raise better kids, everything except gathering around the resurrection of Jesus. And I think all those teachings are important, but they can't be the main teaching. Some of these teachings can come out of an understanding of the resurrection of Jesus. What does that mean for your marriage? What does that mean for your finances? What does that mean for your parenting? But that's not why we gather. We gather because Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? So as we've talked about this beloved community, we talked about that not only this, but we are, next slide please if you would, for some reason it's not clicking. We are a Jesus community. We gather around the name of Jesus. We are people who believe the good news about Jesus. This is what we talked about a couple weeks ago. And then I just talked the entire sermon about what Jesus did for me. It was not my point. I don't believe I'm a narcissist. I don't believe that was the goal. But I believe the Lord wanted me, instead of to just teach what Jesus did in the past, he wanted me to tell you what Jesus did for me. He changed my life in a radical way. And not only is my life changed, there are lives all around me that are changed, and my children's lives are changed, and a generational flow has been changed. We are a Jesus community. Amen. And then Prophet Mario came in the beloved community, and this is what Mikey was talking about. We are a prophetic community, and that's embracing together the discomforts of welcoming the happenings of God in our midst. Mikey talked about how uncomfortable that made him. But we have to be uncomfortable in welcoming God into our midst. And Mario talked about Mary, how Mary bore the word of God like no one else. She carried the word of God, and that was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable socially. It was uncomfortable physically. It was uncomfortable spiritually. It was uncomfortable. And if you are really carrying the word of the Lord in your life, discomfort will come with it. Amen, Pastor. Amen. It goes against our culture. In a culture, in a political climate that says, you know, we're going to dehumanize people who don't agree with us, you're like, I'm a Christian, can't do that. That's uncomfortable. When you're sitting at a table and someone is bad-mouthing another group of people because the Word of God lives on the inside of you, you're like, I'm not really going to be part of this gossip. That's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to be a Jesus follower in a society that death gets the biggest headlines. Death, destruction, tearing people down, just dogging people gets the biggest headlines. And you're like, I'm not going to be a part of that. This is what it's like to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And last week, we talked about a theosis community. Remember our vocab words? Remember our vocab words? Remember the propitiation, perichoresis, and theosis. Remember that? Yes, I know you all went home and studied those words. Excellent. And in this message series, we talked about, because of what Jesus did, the propitiation, right? We get to participate in the life of God, perichoresis, and be transformed into His image. Theosis. This is what we talked about last week. See, we're going somewhere, right? There's a journey here. I'm not just randomly talking. We're actually going somewhere. And here's what I want you to know. Because of this, because of what Jesus did, we get to participate in the life of God, and we get to be transformed into His image. That means as a community, we become a supernatural community. Amen? We get to see the supernatural in community. There is a community dynamic of the supernatural that you do not see on your own. There is a kid in Revival Kid having a really good time. I mean, having a really good time. And you can yell louder than them if you want. Yeah, come on. He's throwing down the gauntlet. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. We serve a supernatural God. Amen? We serve a supernatural God. We serve a God who answers by fire, we read in the Bible. We should expect to see miracles. We should expect to see the miraculous in our church and in our lives. Not everything is supposed to be scripted in church. Not everything is going to be scripted in our lives. Even if you have written a script, you have a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 12-year plan, God is like that. I hope you wrote it with pencil, because I have the big eraser, right? And this is God. God wants us to live a supernatural life, not a life that is scripted and planned and predictable and you in control. The biggest discomfort that I'm seeing in American Christianity today is the lie that if you follow Jesus, you can have control. Oh. We don't have control over everything. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that sermon illustration. You can't control your kids. You know that. Everybody has a perfect plan on how to raise children, and then you have a child. Nobody with a child would say they know how to do it. Only people who don't have children know how to raise children. They got it all figured out. I remember one time Pastor Tracy and I were at church, and one of our children was having an absolute meltdown. And this woman with no kids came over to rescue us or the child, and with a lollipop, I would have drop kicked her into Tuesday if she did not leave us alone at that very moment. Like, you have no idea what's happening right now. Please go away. That's like the Christian who's got to answer for all your problems. You're like, listen, I've been on a long journey with Jesus. I do not need your input at this point in the journey right now. This thing isn't scripted. And I say that not to say, like, just give up and let it go. I say that to say, guess what? You may be serving Jesus with all of your heart and all your mind, and things still aren't working out, and it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. God is working on a level and with a plan that you cannot see. He does not always reveal what He is doing, because if He did, you would not need faith. And God is coming back looking for faith. He says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? And God is so good in some of your lives. He does so much that you always have to have faith in what's coming next. He loves you so much, it feels like you are always out on the end of a limb. It feels like you are always praying for breakthrough. You are always praying for God to come rescue you. You are constantly in the presence of God, begging Him to come do something because God is provoking faith in your life. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that you could just be comfortable in a life that is easy and soft and luxurious, and God says, no, not for this one, for this son, for this daughter, I want them to have faith. Faith, faith. There are so many, I don't know if you've seen it, Duke, but there are more YouTube prophets and apostles than there are churches in America now. And these people couldn't cast a... They couldn't cast a devil out of the devil himself. They couldn't discern a lie if the devil was in front of them talking. There is no anointing at all. There is no faith at work. Because if they really have faith, they would have a real congregation with real people. They wouldn't have to preach to TikTok, right? They would actually have someone else who recognizes the gift of God in their life. And what God is looking for is faith that's worked out through relationship. God is moving through His Spirit today, and He's looking for people who are sold out to Him. I believe that absolutely. Amen. Amen. He's looking for people sold out to Him who radically depend on Him. Radical. We have to decide, what does this supernatural God have for me? There's such an easy life we could just slide into. Just listen to our 88.1. Go to church every couple weeks, maybe talk about God now and then, wear a cross pendant, you know, get married in church. That's nice. But then there is a life where we get caught up in the Trinity. We get caught up in the triune life of God, where God has you places where you cannot see what's next. In a very small example, like when I showed up Sunday night, I knew people were coming. They were expecting me to lead a meeting, and I had no idea what I was going to talk about or what we were going to do. And I just had to decide, God, You get to be in control. I will trust that You will be God. But we have to make this decision before it's time to make the decision. I'm going to trust God. And when we hear God, we're going to go with what He said, come hell or high water. I am going to trust God to fulfill His word in my life. We have to make a decision. As Christians in 21st century America, and I'm not mad at anybody, no matter which side of the decision they fall on. Am I going to be a Christian because I have found out that God can make my life a little bit better? When I add God to my life is a little better. Like, there are people I work with who don't have a real moral compass. Their marriages might be not as faithful. And I have found that when I call myself a Christian, I go to church every couple weeks. I might own a Bible. I certainly don't read it, but every now and then possibly. But this is a better life. Like, this is, my life gets better. That's one way. And you decide, you know, God is my assistant. He's helping me live a better life. Then there are those who decide, I am a child of God. He is the one who charts my life. If He says go right, I go right. If He tells me to open doors, I open doors. If He tells me to start a conversation, I start a conversation. People at my church, they can count on me. I have a spiritual community that I'm a part of. I am lived, integrated into the life of Christ and the life of His bride. This is a priority to me. This is not something I've added my life. I am now a child of God. He is my Lord. He is my master. He is my Savior. And I am counting on Him for my daily bread. I'm counting on Him for the peace in my life. I am counting on Him to come through in ways that I could not imagine. I had plans on my own back in the day. I looked out over the field of my life and I charted a path to where I want to go. But now, I've thrown that away and I say, God, You are the destination. And wherever you have for me in this life, that's where I want to end up. When you thought of me, when you created me in my mother's womb, when I was just a thought in your head before my mother ever got pregnant, and Carl was floating around in your head, and you decided that when my mom got pregnant, you put me on the inside of her, already knowing the destination you had planned for me. And I press on so that I can lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. No matter what happens around me, no matter what happens in our society, no matter what deconstructing people or reconstructing people decide, no matter what the spirit of this age or the spirit of the world decides about the Bible or God or anything else, I am staying tethered to God. I'm saying tethered to community. I have decided this, and we have to make this decision. And I'm not mad at anybody who just says, you know what? I just like calling myself a Christian. All right, that's good. That's better than not. Amen? That's better than not. But there is something more I am pressing on to. There's something more I want a hold of. There's something more that I believe God has for my life in my family. It is the presence of God, and it is a supernatural life. Can you say amen? This is what I want. This is where we are going as a house. This is the direction God has laid out for us. And this, I believe, on the day of Pentecost, is what Peter is standing up and talking about. I believe that he is now prophesying to all those who will listen to him. There is a new day upon us. Let's look at our scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And if you're a guest today, I want to thank you for joining us. I preached Acts chapter 2, I don't know, about a year and a half of my life. I know that. I've probably preached 150 sermons on it. Haven't preached on it in a long time. So if you're like, Spirit-filled church, of course we're preaching Acts 2. It's been a minute. Congratulations. You're here today for it. Be happy about it. Amen. Watch this. Peter, taking his stand with the other 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, know this and pay attention to my words." Know this. Pay attention to my words. Listen. This is Peter who stood up and has decided that what I'm about to say is not what you're used to hearing. And I know you want to write me off, but the Holy Ghost of God is upon me to speak something authoritatively to you right now. Now, there is a history in Scripture going back into the Old Testament of men and women of God that the Spirit of the Lord is upon them, and they bring an authoritative word on a certain day before the people of God for teaching, instruction, and direction. There is a history of anointed preachers, not just somebody who has a word, but someone who God places in authority, who he puts the word of God on their heart, and they speak as an authority in a gathering to the people of God. Now, it is not the same level as Jesus speaking. Amen. Nobody's going to have a prophetic word. I had somebody recently tell me that they compared themselves to Ezekiel, and I said, you're scaring me now. Like, I understand you may feel that you have that kind of anointing, but let's just leave that to Ezekiel, right? Like, no. Have you read his life? I don't even know why you'd even want to be Ezekiel. I don't know why that would even be appealing. Like, you can't even really be Ezekiel till you're dead. Because Ezekiel wasn't nothing until he was dead. Like, this is not what we're talking about, where the word of God, the anointing comes upon Carl, and Carl is standing up here like Peter. No, that is never going to happen, right? Peter was Peter. I'm Carl reading Peter's words. Now, if Peter starts reading my messages, we can talk about it, right? But until then, what we see is a pattern of preaching and anointing, not to be confused with a continuation. Are we good? Carl, why are you making this point? Because some apostle or prophet is going to stand up and tell you that they have the same authority of Peter, and I want you to be able to laugh at them when they say that. This is a Holy Ghost inoculation is what's happening right now. Because they're going to do a miracle and say, "Look, I'm like Elijah," and you're going to say, no, bro, you're not. You're a heretic, right? Miracles do not make you sound, right? Your doctrine does. Amen? Amen. All right. So wonder workers aren't necessarily apostles and prophets. Amen. You're like, why are you going on about this? Because I've lost too many loved ones to false prophets. I've just lost loved ones to false prophets and false teachers. People whose salvation I'm praying for right now as they led the children of God astray in their false prophecy. I will tell you this story real quick. Real quick. Don't cut me off. Real quick. I had a spiritual son who was really, really into all the stuff. And I'm into I see the stuff. I like the stuff. The supernatural stuff. And he wanted to be an apprentice to this guy who called himself a prophet. And I'm like, not as excited about this guy as you are. And he's like, oh, they basically accused me of being a hater. And I'm like, I don't know. And he was going to be his apprentice. And for the low, low price of $40,000, he was going to be his assistant. And I'm like, what? I'll do it for 28. You know, like I... I kept telling him things like, you know, son, I really think you should get a job. That's what I believe the word of the Lord is for your life right now. And this guy's like, you're going to travel the nations and be like, eh, all right, whatever. And so over the year, this guy would text me and he's like, have you seen the octopus? I'm like, what are we talking about here? He's like, there's this octopus in Australia and they're putting things in front of it for the World Cup and he's picking the people who are going to win the next World Cup game. I'm like, bro, you have lost the plot. This has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. You have completely lost it. Now, within 3 years, this prophet finally came out, and he serves the god Orion, and he was taking people on journeys past the planets and Saturn and all this nonsense. He's just a full false prophet. I was like, listen, this gospel is not complicated. If anyone other than Jesus is special, you have a false gospel. It all points to Jesus. No special prophet, no special apostle. I believe in prophets. I believe in apostles. I believe in evangelists. I believe in pastors. You don't hear enough people prophesying that. I believe in pastors, right? I believe in teachers, which many of these people who call themselves prophets and apostles need desperately. They desperately need some teachers. They need to go to school. And I'm not going to go down that. But I want you to know that I believe in the supernatural, but I believe that none of it is weird. It lines up with the word, and it makes Jesus famous. That's what's supposed to happen. Jesus is supposed to be made famous. Not an octopus. I just thought that was an easy one. And so, but at the same point, I have to tell you that people will have this carnal knowledge of Jesus and never have a supernatural encounter with him, never be fully converted to Christ. They have a mental ascension. They, yes, okay, I understand all the points, and they may even know the doctrine, and they may even know the church fathers, but they do not know the supernatural power of God. And they may read the word, and they may know the Greek and the Hebrew, and I'm for that, and I think we should learn all that. And they understand all the big words and all that, but it's all dead. See, this is just printed ink until the Holy Ghost comes and brings it alive on the inside of us. And when that happens, there is power in the Word of God. We don't need to go to octopuses. We don't need to go to special apostles. Go to the Word of God. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you read this Word and watch it come alive on the inside of you. And here's Peter. Peter is the perfect example. People want to act like they're the next great thing. And Peter gets up, and what does he do? He starts quoting the Bible. He starts teaching them what Joel had written, this great prophet back in the day. He starts teaching them, look, the prophet pointed to this day, and I'm here to let you know it's happening right now. He says, this is that. You read it with dead eyes. You read it through the old covenant, but Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and now this word is alive, and it's happening right now. There was a special anointing on Peter to let them know that the season had shifted, the times have changed, that you're now in a new season with the Lord. And I'm here to tell some of you the same thing. I felt it at worship. There is a new season coming into your life. A season of breakthrough, a season of overcoming, a season of joy, a season of prosperity, a season of power, a season of love and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, I feel it. I feel it so deep in my spirit, man. I feel it's a new day, a new vision, a new life, a new worldview. I feel it in my spirit. so much. And some people will sit in this room and they don't even know what's happening right now. And other people are sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And right now they're like, yes, and they feel the future pulling them into it. And I say, yield to the Spirit of God and let him pull you into the future. Amen. Amen. And amen and amen. But I want to let you know, some people had an opportunity to sit under Peter's teaching that day and they missed it. Could you imagine? You just were like, oh, well, you know, there was a cricket game on. And, you said Peter had a good meeting? Yeah, it was a pretty good meeting. Pretty good meeting. Actually, people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. What's that? Kind of had to be there, right? Had to be there. You just missed it, right? I say that with no condemnation, but the people who made it got it. And the people who missed it, missed it. I thank God Mike was there on Sunday night. I thank God I was there. No condemnation. I'm not beating up anybody. But I'm saying there is a time of appointed encounter. And we want to make it. Imagine if Peter, like, oh, y'all having a prayer meeting. We've been praying for 8-9 days. You know, Grey's Anatomy's on tonight. And I'm not sure, you know. I went to yesterday's prayer meeting. Not for nothing, fellas. Nothing happened. I was at Tuesday's prayer meeting. Nothing happened. I was at Monday's prayer meeting. Nothing happened. But, but then something happened. We had powerful prophetic words this past Sunday. What, did we plan that? No. Did God? Yeah. And we have to be people filled with hope that when we gather as a prophetic community, as we gather as a theosis community, as we gather as a Jesus community, as we gather, we are, hear me, a supernatural community. When we come together as a group of people, like it wasn't one person had a prophecy over everybody. As a matter of fact, one of our prophetic brothers was there and he was like, Pastor, can I talk to you after? I'm like, sure. He's like, I didn't get words for anybody. I'm like, I don't understand what happened. I was like, isn't that beautiful? He's like, wait, what? Like, God didn't need one person. It was the community prophesying. It was a community prophesying. He's like, ah. Oh. I was like, it's so much more beautiful when you didn't feel like you had to make up a word. That God could speak through the community. And every week, now they tell us in church planting courses and leadership classes now that we're not supposed to make anybody uncomfortable. And people in this day and age, they don't want to be singled out. You don't want to have to talk to anybody. You want to be able to come in, be anonymous, and leave. And I'm like, I get that, but that's not the Bible. That's not the gospel. That's not community. I get to sneak in and sneak out, and it's not the church of Jesus Christ. And so every service, we have a moment where you're going to get uncomfortable, and you're going to bless somebody near you. Even if you're just uncomfortable, and you're like this, but... No, don't touch me. I'm good. No, I'm good. Got to go to the bathroom, right? Like, but one day you're going to be driving to church and you're just going to hear something. You're going to hear like a breakthrough in marriage. You're going to be like, what? I'm single though. What is it for me? And you're going to be like, maybe it's for that moment. After we say the Apostles' Creed and we go to bless somebody near us, maybe that's a word. Maybe I'm actually part of the church and I have something for someone. Maybe you're just going to come in faith that I'm going to just bless people today. And like maybe on Tuesday, you're going to have an amazing day. God's going to do something for you. Something's going to work out in your job or just some good thing's going to happen. And I want you to, at that moment, you think, I'm carrying this to Sunday. Sunday morning, I'm showing up and I'm giving this to somebody. You see, because the anointing is transferable. And that breakthrough that you get gets to get on somebody else. But you can look at something with the carnal mind and completely miss the spiritual aspect of it. You could read the Bible and completely miss what the Holy Ghost is saying. You can just be so stuck in your head. Here's how Paul put it. Paul put it like this. No, that's not it. Right there. Here's what Paul said. He said, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. I knew the scripture was coming up when earlier Mikey said there was just peace. There was some life and there was peace in the room. I said, Holy Spirit, I thank you that I know that you're here. And you gave me this very scripture. We have this choice. The mindset on the flesh is death. We live in a society where death gets the biggest headlines, where insults and destruction gets the biggest headlines. And we have a choice we have to make. What are we going to meditate on? Are we going to meditate on the death of our society or on the Spirit, which brings life and he brings peace? I wish Elder Mike was in the room today. He's serving in Revival Kids. That's how you know he's a real elder. He will serve the community. I love him. I love his wife, who is in here. And we had a bit of a crazy this week. I'm going to be completely honest with you. If you felt some sort of turmoil this week, you were interceding for Revival Life Church. Let me share what happened. Tuesday, I got an email from Investments Limited, who owns this building and half of Boca Raton. And she said, I hate Investments Limited. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. Jesus. But it was said, right? I didn't say it. And they said, hey, your lease is coming to an end. And I was like, oh, I thought I had another year on our lease. And they're like, nope, it's coming to an end. And it ends at the end of this month, and we're raising your rent 80%. 80. I was like, let me count that. That's more than we have, right? That's not gonna that's 80. And so I called them up, and I was like, see the way my money is set up is I have the savings, and I got the checking, I was like, this can't be every year, you know, we get a 4%. It's just kind of how it works. And every 3 years, maybe we get a 5%. But and the lady says to me, yeah, the taxes have gone up. I was like, they ain't got up to 80%. They would have to go up 140% for this to make any kind of sense. This don't make no kind of sense. If you don't want us here, just tell me you don't want us here. But this don't make no, I will not allow you to lie to me and say that this is not your fault. You know, raise our rent 80%. And I'm like, the lease is like, at the end of March, so like 2 weeks. I'm like, and so I don't know, you know, this is a man of faith. I wasn't floating in the clouds at that moment because there's no possible way I could sign a lease for our church. I mean, unless some of you have hit lotto and you are exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think going to give, and so I called them, and I called them again. And then I said, all right, talk to my wife. And I called the elders in my life. Called Elder Mike, obviously. Him and Sue, obviously my wife knew. Called the elders in my life because I don't go through these kind of things alone. I am a part of a community myself. I'm a part of this community, but this community is part of other communities. And I have elders in my life. And I listen to the elders in my life. I don't make big decisions on my own. I don't make them out of fear. I listen to godly counsel, and I hear for the Holy Ghost. And so I called just some people who speak into my life about these kind of things, and I asked them to pray. And one gave me a word, and I'm like, I don't like that word. If it's God, it's God. And so I began to pray, and they said they would pray. And my wife, the anointing came on my wife. She said, listen, you got to get in front of these people, because when you get in front of people, things change. So don't just email and say, you gotta see, because the anointing on my life is to lead this community. Amen. Amen. And so I called people I knew who might know them, and they set up a meeting for me. And I went down there and I sat in the desk, and I gotta tell you, this was like 3 days in of them not giving me, and like thinking, how do we move? Where do we go? What are we gonna do? Like, I don't know what we're gonna do. And I was what's funny is I knew I was gonna preach this Sunday on the supernatural kingdom. And so set up this meeting, and I sit down in this guy's office, and he is yelling at his assistant. There's no other way to say it. He's yelling at her about how she's made like comma mistakes. There's in this contracts, and he's just yelling at her. He goes, okay, so who are you? What can I do for you? I was like, Carl Thomas, Revival Life Church. I'd like to talk about our lease. And I have been arguing with these people for 3 days, 80%. Is ungodly, right? Like, that's just that. And we we sit down. I'm trying not to look nervous. I'm trying to be the man of faith and power for the hour, right? I sit down. Holy Ghost of God, come, right? My wife had prayed for me. I sit down. He says, he opens the contract. He says, the numbers are all wrong. I was like, you're right. Okay, we're getting somewhere now. Now we are getting somewhere in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And he's like, he's making just noises. And he's like, well, I got to bring your rent up to market. I was like, don't have to. I mean, come on, have to is a strong word, right? Don't have to. He's making noises. I'm like, what's happening, God? He's like, I got to raise it 5%. I said, five. So now I have been talking to people. They're like, well, give them a counteroffer. I'm like, if they want 80, a counteroffer is 50. And 50 is still too much. I'm like, my counter to 80 is 4, right? Like, let's meet in the middle. 5, right? Like, we sit down. I'm like, and this is what I'm telling people. Like, I'm in the middle is, I can do 5. And we sit down. He goes, I got 5%. I'm like, okay, 5%. I'm like, amen. Come on, somebody. I'm like, what just happened? What just happened? I don't understand. Now, if you know, I'm not disparaging anybody, but if you know Investments Limited, Diane is in the real estate market. Investments Limited, I know people. Oh, how do I say this? Oh, I can't say that. I gotta take that back. There are people. Hyatt Investments Limited, who are like, I'm very close friends with this person who's very high, and he's never done me any favors at all. I've said, you know, he'll give us this rent, and we show up, and the actual leasing agent, it's double what they said. And the guy's like, can't do anything for you. And so we show up, and it goes from 80% to 5%. I'm like, what in the name of Jesus just happened? But you know what? I needed to show up and believe God. God was not going to move till I showed up and put a demand on the anointing. Jesus, I need your anointing in this thing right here. Like I didn't need him to move if I sat at home and just laid in bed and sucked my thumb, right? God don't move when you sit in bed and suck your thumb. God moves when you actually show up and put a demand on the anointing. Now, this is not Carl. I'm not taking any credit for this at all. I'm not saying I'm the man of faith. I'm just saying God, for whatever reason, I showed up and God decided, if you care enough to show up, I care enough to make it happen. Come on, somebody. And so I had met with some, I had set up a meeting with some senior pastors. I'm open before God. I stand before God with my hands open. I'm like, Is this God sending me a sign? What is he saying about this? You know, I want to meet with some pastors because the lease does not decide my future. God does. And so I sat with some pastors and we got there afterwards. This is not like some Pentecostal, like not necessarily somebody from our tribe, but people that I trust. And we sat there and I told him the story of what happened. I was like, I'm just looking to see if you got any godly counsel. And he looked at me and he says, oh, this is easy. I'm like, what? Like, and I'm expecting some business plan. He said, this is an attack of the devil. Something good must be coming. I said, amen. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Something good must be coming. He's like, the only reason the devil would come at your peace like this is because he knows something is coming on the horizon, and he's trying to shortcut it, and he's trying to cut you out before it happens. I said, amen and amen and amen. I received that right now. My wife was like, what? Wait, what? Wait, what? What? And I'm like, huh? Yeah, it's something good. So I woke up in the morning not knowing if we're going to have church on Sunday, and I go in saying, oh, God has something even better than you thought happening, and the devil cannot stop it in the name of Jesus. Because I had a prophetic anointed community around me. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? On my own, there was distress and trials. But when I submitted myself to the community, I came away with the prophetic word of the Lord on my life and breakthrough happening around me. Because we are part of a supernatural community. Can you say amen? I believe that's happening for all of us here right now. I believe that is happening for some people in your life, that there is breakthrough as you surround yourself and keep yourself surrounded with supernatural community, if you keep yourself surrounded with people of faith, breakthrough is on the horizon. You see, the devil's got you tricked into thinking one thing is happening, but God is setting up something else entirely for your favor. See, because if you only had the enemy's voice, you would have fallen prey to the enemy. But around supernatural community, someone came with another voice and said, no, 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 I got something better for you than you could have imagined in the first place. That's what happened Sunday night. The prophetic voice didn't have anything, but the community spoke and spoke a better future over some people. We are part of a supernatural community. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel good. I could run around the room right now. I would do it, but I'm not in that good of shape. Hallelujah. 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 This isn't the verse I want to talk about, so we have to go back here. This is how things work sometimes. Hallelujah. Hey, do I have 2 Peter? You see it up there, 2 Peter 1? I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Do you see it? Put it up if you got it. 2 Peter 1, remember he talked about that we are, excellent, that we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. There's a choice we have to make. There's a choice that we have to make, that the mindset on flesh is death, the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Right? We talked about last week. We have to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. You cannot partake of the divine nature and live in the corruption of the world. We have to purposefully be part of the supernatural community. This is something that we have to lean into. Oh, I want to hear God's voice. I want to have supernatural encounters. I want to be one that has words. I want to see the miracle signs and wonders. Well, we have to escape the corruption of the world and partake of the divine nature. There's a choice we have to make. And don't get weird about it, but at the same point, it has to be purposeful. We have to purposefully lean into what God has for us in this day so we can be transformed to who God is in our lives. Amen. 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 Put up my Ephesians 2, if you would, please. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. He says, so you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. Now, I want you to think of this. We have, most of us probably, American citizenship. In Revival Life, you never know, right? But most of us have American citizenship. But you also have another citizenship. You have a citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And so you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. So this kingdom citizenship, we have it together. So it's kind of like when you go overseas and there's like an expat community and you might go and watch some American football with them, or in America, the Brazilians get together and watch that game where there might be one score for an hour and a half. I don't know why they do it, but it reminds them of home, and so they do it. I joke, but so you're like, man, I get together with these people and then I remember these are my people, right? This is what we do on Sunday. These are my people. Before you ever were a citizen of United States or Brazil or wherever else you might come from, you originally were born in the mind of God. And so as we get born again, we get our citizenship papers. And then we come together on Sundays to fellowship with these people, with the saints, who are the household of God. Verse 20, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord. Here's this last sentence I want to get to. In whom, verse 22, you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Us. Look around you right now. Look around you. This. We're being built together into a dwelling of God. Here's what's profound about Jesus doing this. We understand the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's a corporate thing. We are being built together into a dwelling of God. God dwells in us as a people. I don't know how he does that. I don't know why he chose to do it this way. But I know that when we come together, there are parts of the body, the spirit, that we don't have alone. And in us, as we love one another, as we love what God is doing amongst us, as we love each other's breakthrough, we get to be partakers of this same divine anointing, watching one another be transformed into the image of God. That theosis we talked about last week. See, this church, it's a supernatural church. Something special happens when we come together. And your miracle is right here in church. So very quickly, I want to look at three things in our passage from today. I want to point out three things that I believe that Peter prophesied on this day of the Lord. Are y'all feeling all right?
Yeah.
As we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17, if you've got your Bibles there. It says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I'll pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will have dreams. And even on my male and female servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Now, there's some theology out there today that there's men, and then there's women, and that women can't, and you just don't see that in the life of Jesus. Aren't you happy that women can prophesy? Have you received some prophetic ministry from saints of God or women? Amen and amen. Not just women's ministry. I'm talking about ministry. I'm talking about deep words in the name of Jesus. There's been a lot of abuse in prophetic ministry, and I know I talk about that a lot because I was part of it. And so I have to display my repentance from what I learned in the past. But this, there's only abuse in the prophetic because there is such a thing as the prophetic. There's a perversion of the prophetic only because there is such a thing as prophetic. There's a perversion of the real. Sex is not immoral. There is immoral sex. And so prophecy has not died, but there is improper prophecy. But there's only improper prophecy because there is real prophecy. There are prophetic words that God has for you. But even more so than that, and this is what I want you to focus on, there is a word for someone else that God wants to speak through you. Amen. You just want to just love people and encourage them well. In the midst of loving and encouraging, God may speak right through you in that moment. And that is available to men and women because God is no respecter of persons. And I believe that a prophetic word spoken in right season will absolutely change the course of your life. Amen. Just like a healing can change the course of your life. Just like a word of knowledge can change the course of your life. Just like a deliverance from a demonic spirit can change the course of your life. And I got to tell you, if there's anything the world needs today, it is deliverance. If you're on social media, you know how many people are stuck on stupid to a level that it has to be spiritual because it's so stupid. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You hear things that are so stupid, you're like, you couldn't come out without on your own. You're not smart enough to be that dumb. That's dumb on levels I can't even equate. Bishop likes to see false prophecies on Twitter and text them to me. I'm like, why are we talking about this now, Bishop? What are we doing? He's like, this is profoundly stupid. I'm like, yes, it is profoundly stupid. But there is real prophecy that absolutely changes lives. And here's what I want you to know: these prophecies. He says, oh, I'm sorry. Go back to it. He says, your young men will see visions and your old men will have dreams. That's because us older people got to sleep more, right? So you young people, we need a little more sleep so God is merciful. He'll meet us where we're at and often he'll find us sleeping. But you young people, just lean into visions, all right? I'm going to lean into dreams because that's where I'm at in life. I used to get a lot of visions. Now I'm getting more dreams, right? It's just God is faithful that way. But he says, and even on my male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I only wanted to mention this for a moment, but I want to lean in for a second. So just like Peter said at the beginning, look at me and pay attention, because this is important. I'm sensing in my spirit right now, there is a new wave of prophecy about to come through this church, and it's not going to look like the last wave of prophecy. part of the last wave of prophecy of that kind of came out in years past, and the teaching on prophecy was grounded in the people's desire to do something supernatural. I want to be supernatural, so I want to operate in a gift. I believe what we're going to see is the gifts as motivated by love. Amen. Like, I'm so joined to this person and they are so hurting. I am going to press in until I know what God is speaking over this situation. I am willing to fast and pray for my friend until I get the word of the Lord that encourages them. I am going to pray until I get an anointing for healing that's going to change their life. I am going to contend and study my word and praise and worship until I see that demon delivered from their life and it comes off their finances or their family or their child comes home or whatever they are struggling with. I feel like the season of gift shortcuts is over. Amen. I hope that makes sense. Because faith works by love. Yes, by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yes, comes by hearing. But it works by love. Comes by hearing, works by. Let's all say it together. Faith works by. And if you go to somebody and you're climbing on top of their shoulders to show how you're so much more spiritual than them, that is not love. That's love of self, which is the opposite of the gospel. And we see so many people getting platforms, but their platforms are other people. This is why you're feeling that, I don't know about this. Because in this season, faith will work by love. It's been proven the gifts work. We know that. We're not impressed. We want Jesus. And Jesus washed feet. Jesus could have been in Jerusalem running everything, but he went and traveled through Galilee among the poor, among the marginalized, because that's who he loves. And in this season, if we're going to hear the voice of Jesus, we better know that it's not hate. Because faith works by love. I believe that's a prophetic word. Amen. Amen. All right, let me finish this up. Mikey, come on up. That'll make me hurry. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to share these last two points, and then I'm going to pray for you. And then you're going to be a superstar, super spiritual minister. And you'll be... that was a joke. Thank you. Well, are we good? It's Chelsea's birthday. We got to be happy today. And it's St. Patrick's Day. I don't care as much about that, but that's my, yes, I'm not, because like I said, real Heat fans never wear that color. Verse 19, turn them down a little bit if you would please. Verse 19, here's the second, the first point we talked about. Second point. And I will display wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. First thing we talked about was the signs point to Jesus. If you are going to have a gift of prophecy, the goal at the end of that prophecy is that they're closer to Jesus, not to you. They need Jesus more, not me more. They need Jesus. They are connected to Jesus more. Jesus has become more clear to them, not I became more clear. Not my gift is now more prominent in their life. Jesus is more prominent in their life. And the second thing here is that we are to live with miracle signs and wonders. Things that you cannot explain in your life. Like you sit down where you think everything is about to implode, and the guy says, the numbers are all wrong. I'm like, amen. And I'm like, Lord, why do we have to go through this? I didn't need this in my life this week. I really didn't. And so afterwards, I'm just sitting there And in my carnal mind, I'm like, I want to slap everybody in this office right now for putting me through this for this week, right? Mike was praying, like we were just praying. And I just said to the guy, is there anything I can pray for you for? And he looks at me, and he stands up, and he closes the door to the assistant that he had just been yelling at, and he closed the other door, and he shared something so deep and personal. I think it would violate, you know, I can't share it here. I mean, it was deeply, deeply personal. And I was like, wow, that's hard. And, you know, they think you're going to go home and pray, but no. When I say, can I pray? We're praying right now. So I grab his hand, and I just pray. See, at that moment, I was living in a miracle. And so I'm just praying this miracle over his life. Lord, over his family, I pray that you would do this thing, this healing that is needed. I prayed in faith, not a long time, but I prayed in faith. And then he let go of hands. He goes, I felt that. Like, he felt weird. Like, I felt that. I was like, yeah, God is here. He's like, I got goosebumps. I said, the Holy Ghost is in this room. I said, and I believe God is going to do this thing for you. I believe because of his goodness. And then I wanted to be like, is this, Lord, I would have prayed for him. Just bring me to Publix. I don't need to go through this to pray for this man. But if that's why, if you wanted me to witness to this guy, if that's why I had to go through this, I'm yours. You get to use my life however you want, not just the good. But if you got to bring me through trials to get me into this guy's office who doesn't meet with people, you could have just brought him to church, Lord, but instead you brought me to him through a trial. But if that's the reason, then I'm yours. I'm yours. You, again, I would have done it in Publix like that. But you get to choose. I'm yours. Miracle signs and wonders, things that we cannot explain. It all points to Jesus. The book of Acts talks about notable miracles. In Acts 8, he talks about diverse miracles, meaning all kinds of miracles are happening. In Acts chapter 19, one of my favorite scriptures, he talks about unusual miracles. When I read that, I think, what kind of life were they living where they had the usual miracles and the unusual miracles? I'll take the usual miracles, let alone the unusual miracles. How are they living? I'm going to try not to beat this up because I want to pray for you. Stand with me if you would. God is doing something in my life where I'm reading the scriptures with fresh eyes. We've talked about this, where you got to get your vision a little blurry so you can get it clear again. You want to read the Bible like it's the first time again. And when I read the book of Acts, I read about some people who, not many years prior, they're just some religious folk. Not particularly educated, most of them. Not particularly anointed, most of them. Didn't particularly know the voice of God. Just fishermen and tax collectors, just workers, just regular old folk. And then they met Jesus. Some before he was resurrected, some after. But they met Jesus. And Paul in his writing say, I didn't get my doctrine from any of the apostles. The Lord Jesus himself taught me. And I think, if Paul had such a relationship, I get Peter. I get John. I get John the Beloved had this revelation. I get that. But Paul knew the same Jesus I know, the resurrected Jesus. But he knew him in a way where he wrote Philippians, that he wrote Ephesians. I'm just trying to learn Ephesians. He knew Jesus, that he wrote it. And these guys were just living, telling people about Jesus. And I get to Acts 19, And I see that miracles were such a part of their life, they had to differentiate the miracles. I'm like, how did they know God in such a way that the writer had to say, in unusual miracles were being done at the hands of the apostles? Like, oh, we're used to that kind of miracle. Unusual miracles. I want each of us to know God in a way that you know the miracles He does through you. I want us to be like my old mentor's old mom that I would tell you about so often. And she just had this faith in Jesus. And that people would just come into your path and you're like, oh, I know these kind of miracles are going to happen. I understand for you it looks difficult, but this is a usual miracle for me. For me, one of those usual miracles is people who can't have babies. I get to the point where I just begin laughing because that's a normal miracle for me. To see people who come to church and say, ah, we're infertile. We're like, oh, yeah. Not for long. But I want to know Jesus so well that I want to see the unusual miracles. And what's that look like? What's that going to look like? Let me show you for Peter what all of this points to. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, church, this is where we're going. I want you to hear this. The days of it being us four and no more, that we're the special anointed people, or we're the prophetic church, not the whatever. No, 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 no. All the miracle signs and wonders, all the prophetic community, all of the Jesus community, it all points to the most important people in our service are those who do not know Jesus. That they may be saved. That we would look at these people as people that Jesus died for. When we're at work and we feel excited because God has done something in our lives, and yet, oh, you're just a coworker going to hell. You're just a coworker, don't know Jesus. You're just out there at your own whim doing. No, 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 no. No, God has anointed me with the Word of God. God has anointed me with miracles. God has anointed me with words of knowledge. God has anointed me with the scriptures that I have set to my heart that I can share with this person and bring them to a place of salvation. Listen, Easter is in 2 weeks. People are more likely to go to Easter and church and, excuse me, and Christmas than any other week of the year. Get you some invitation cards. Set it in your heart, Lord, I am going to invite at least 2 people this week to church. But I believe the Lord wants to anoint some people. Some people are called to the work of the miraculous. We don't get to pick it. We don't get to drum it up. We don't get to work it up, but it's God. And so I'm now going to pray. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray. Wow. I'm going to pray right now. And I would say this. If you feel like God may be calling you to this, or you just want to see the supernatural in your life, don't do it yet, but just put your hands out in front of you so that God could anoint you. But I want you to know that you may have to go to some places you don't necessarily want to go. Are you talking about Africa? Are you talking about... What I'm talking about is going to the landlord's office because you're about to get evicted. But you're there with the word of the Lord. And so you got to go through the days of turmoil. You are going to have to go places you may not want to go because God has you there to bring the word of the Lord. You may have some problem with a cashier at Publix. And you want to let them know what's up. But really, God is delaying your conversation so you can share the gospel. Might be a problem with your utilities. And God's got you there because you need to share with the person at the utility department about the healing word of the Lord for their lives. I'm sorry, I see that you're walking with a limp. Can I pray for you? Now I know why God's got me here. I feel like some people in this house have been stuck in a season because God has wanted you to plant something in that season. And it hasn't happened yet. And the more faithful we are with the gospel in that season, the more likely we are to move into our next season. And so I'm going to pray. Father, for those who right now are willing to be a vessel in your hands, those who are willing to be clay in the potter's hand, those who are willing to be a coin in God's pocket that he could spend however he wants. Father, for those who do not know this God of salvation, I now pray. And I pray, Jesus, wow. I pray, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God. There we go. Jesus, that you would breathe on them. Breathe on them and give them supernatural opportunities. Give them supernatural opportunities to speak your word, to share your gospel, to show your love. Signs that point to Jesus, wonders that make people think about Jesus, and miracles that cause people to give glory to Jesus. Signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord. I ask right now that you would anoint them to love people the way you love people, with signs, wonders, and miracles. I feel the anointing of God so strong right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would turn our heart to you and we would see in your eyes the reflection of the lost who desperately need an encounter with you, who desperately need to know, your love. Excuse me. Signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, I do not hesitate to pray for those today who actually need this display of love in their lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I pray for every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice who needs an encounter with the living God, who needs a supernatural deliverance from infirmity and a supernatural healing. I pray for every person in this room who is standing in proxy for a loved one who is dealing with infirmity right now. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of infirmity to go. In the name of Jesus, we declare the blood of Jesus over these. Father, that you would visit them with your healing touch. I feel the anointing of God so strong. Just pray with me if you would, church. But you would heal those, Father. You would heal them, Father. You would deliver them from sickness, and you would bring miraculous recovery and healing in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray right now for every person in financial lack who is bound by the spirit of this age in poverty. Father, we command this spirit of infirmity to go and that prosperity would be released upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Like Mikey said, he felt that spirit, he felt that thing come off his life. He felt a deliverance from the old and he felt an infilling, the fire of God for the new. I pray, since you are not a respecter of persons, that right now in the name of Jesus, you would do that for every man, woman, and child right now who are in need of a financial breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus, who are in need of a relational breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus, that you would come into their lives and you would pour out fresh fire in the name of Jesus, and you would fill them to overflowing so they have a word of testimony for the world around them that Jesus is alive. Amen and amen and amen. Church, can you say amen with me and give a clap offering to the Lord? Thank you, Lord, and we believe it to be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We love you. We love you. And in 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And 2 days before that, we're going to have Good Friday communion. You just stay tuned for more information about that. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be here at the front. We love you. Have an amazing week. Make sure you get some connection cards. Give one more clap offering to the Lord if you would.